Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
Carlos Mencia, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yes, good morning, Vietnam. Today on the show, we really hope to talk to Carlos Mencia. If, when he calls in, we'll play a game with him called Beat the Brit.
And we've got our new infamous Only in Laguna file, where Jason Fetty sings the police blotter, my favorite thing we do on the show. Are you ready for that?
Yes. And I'll tell you what else we're doing. Got our first installment of Breakfast on the Beach. I'm excited about this. You guys get to listen to us scoff our breakfast, thanks to Chef Alan Miller. Good morning. It's Daily Scramble Live.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
The staff of local noted architect Mark Singer, who for 30 years has designed award-winning homes, art galleries, and commercial properties with a distinctive contemporary style, confirmed his death Thursday. The architect's signature was so well-known locally that shorthand property descriptions of contemporary light-filled structures were called Singer homes, even when they weren't designed by the architect. Real estate broker Robert Chapman says Singer told him early in February that he had caught a virus traveling in Central America. That's the local news courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. Let's look outside the Laguna bubble. The case of a three-year-old girl in the U.S. who developed type 2 diabetes has driven doctors to raise concerns about diet in childhood. The child had a version of the illness more commonly seen in older people. She weighed 77 pounds at 3 years old when she saw specialists, and experts believe an unhealthy diet and lack of exercise played a large role in her condition. The girl was been given treatment, and her family improved her diet and the amount of exercise she took. And then 6 months after the diagnosis, the girl no longer needed medication. Her blood sugar returned to normal, and she had lost nearly 19 pounds. According to doctors, the fact that the child's blood sugars returned to normal after she lost weight demonstrates that this was an obesity-related illness and that you can change your risk by changing your lifestyle. This year's flu shot should work well to fight off this year's strain of the flu, federal health officials said yesterday. If true, that prediction would be a welcome shift from a year ago, when a strong mutated flu strain was largely resistant to last year's vaccine, catching doctors and the public by surprise. Typically, the flu season starts in October before peaking in the winter, but flu vaccines are reformulated months earlier based on what experts predict will be best to fight off what they believe will be in circulation. Public health officials said Thursday that now is the best time to get a flu shot, because the vaccine takes about 2 weeks to become fully protective. Finally, in world news, an Islamic extremist has been killed by police in the German capital of Berlin after he stabbed an officer in an apparent terror attack. The 41-year-old Iraqi citizen, identified only as Rafiq Y, was shot dead by police after they responded to calls of a man wielding a knife. The dead man was one of three who were convicted for plotting to assassinate the former prime minister of Iraq during his visit to Berlin in 2004. I do have one fun story, Jason. Would you like to hear that one?
Yes, I'm ready for one now.
According to a report, a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay has had an active account on Match.com since 2008, and his lawyer has been running it for him. The lawyer says he's been getting several matches a day, even though his profile says he's detained but ready to mingle.
I bet he is.
But sorry, Match.com suspended his account as soon as they found out about it.
Oh, no. Well, it's a bit of fun for him to do while he's whiling away the hours in Cuba.
Got to do something, right?
Sure.
Let's finish the headline now. You ready?
Yeah, go on then.
Tomorrow is talk like a blank day.
Okay, finish the headline.
National made-up holiday.
A made-up holiday. Talk like a baby day.
No.
I don't know.
Pirate.
Oh, arr. No. Not good.
Tomorrow's Talk Like a Pirate Day. And here's what's going to happen. Long John Silver's and Krispy Kreme are offering free food in honor of Talk Like a Pirate
Day. It's always sponsored by somebody. That's the whole thing about it, isn't it? It's like, you know, all of those days, Mother's Day, they're all Hallmark
Who
days,
are they?
Aren't
they're not sponsored by anybody.
Well, no, but they're like, you know, you're encouraged by a business to spend money.
Yeah. Dress Like a Cow Day. That's Chick-fil-A's day. And you get free. If you put foil on your body on Halloween, Chipotle will give you a free burrito.
Is that true? Is there any of this true?
It's all, no, well, how could I make that up? Yeah, it's completely true. So Long John Silver says tomorrow, you can get free fish or a chicken tender to anyone who talks like a pirate, but they don't just want you to walk in and say, "Err." They want a whole sentence. So here are some examples of what they want you to say when you go into Long John Silver's. They want you to say, for example, "Err, I've come to plunder me free fish." And, "Ahoy, matey, I've come for me free fish or chicken tender."
"Your food sucks. Where's the bathroom?"
I've never heard a British man talk like a pirate before.
Well, I think they mostly were Brits, weren't they, pirates?
I don't know.
You have to be irate to be a pirate. You've got to be irritated, haven't you? And oh, God, you got to sound like your underpants are too tight.
I lost the music for a second. It wasn't intentional.
I'm trying to get to a punchline so you can put a record on.
Oh.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, try one more time.
Okay. I got nothing. That's not good enough, is it? All right.
Daily scramble, daily scramble life. Daily scramble, daily scramble life.
One of my favorite albums of all time back there, The Strokes from Room on Fire with 1251. This is Daily Scramble Live. Good morning,
Hi,
Jason.
Good morning. I wasn't even looking at you. I thought you were just talking to me, but you were talking to everybody.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That shows that my radio presence is conversational and fun.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Anyway, what did you say?
I said that was The Strokes. And I love that album.
Right. Love
that song.
I love it, yes.
If you listen to our podcast, you'll note that we edit all the music out. This is for legality and convenience. But if you listen to the show live, then we play plenty of cool generational alt-rock music like we do all day long on our Laguna Beach radio station.
It's what we do best of all.
So I have a social media rant story for you.
Oh, cool. Go on. Go ahead.
My grandfather is running for state senator. My grandfather, whom I call Pa, lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Actually, Owosso, Oklahoma, to be more specific,
Which
is where I was born. I'm giving you a lot of personal information right now.
All right.
And he was the principal of a high school. That was his career for, you know, decades.
What a guy.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Very good Christian man. Just a great guy. Drives a bus now. Drives a school bus in his retirement every day to work.
He's salt of the earth, this man.
He is. So he's running for state senator.
Right.
He's never been in politics before.
Mm-hmm.
Just found out that the Owosso state senator, the District 34 senator, was embezzling money. So he got kicked out of his office. Okay. So my grandfather and a couple other candidates are being voted for in the primary, the Republican primary, in a couple months.
Crikey.
So my grandma called me and she said, "We need to make Pa a Facebook page." Okay. So he can run for state senator.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm happy to help with this, mm-hmm. thinking this will be a flash.
Yeah.
I make the Facebook page. It's called Mark Williams for State Senator District 34. If anyone would like to go like his page. I made the Facebook page. I put some pictures up there. I added some info. Then my grandma calls me, and I'm on the phone with her, no joke, for an hour and a half, describing to her how to go to that Facebook page, how to copy the URL for that Facebook page.
Yeah.
And for me, what frustrates me, and I'm trying to be patient. She's my grandma. Like, I try to be patient. But it's so second nature to us these days to say, copy a link. And somebody doesn't know what that means. You have to describe. Drag your mouse to the thing.
It's very basic stuff.
Select, it's...
Hours of my life with my mother. My mother's probably the same age as your grandmother. And hours of my life spent with her.
It's unbelievable.
Now my mom will go, because she knows how frustrating it is for me and my brother, she'll go, "Oh, my computer's broken, you know." And I go, "Mom, your computer's not broken. It cannot be broken." "No, it's broken. It's all right. I just need someone to help me fix it." And then there'll be like a bit of silence on the phone, like, "Okay, Good. Well, I'm sorry, Mum. I've really got to go now. She knows. She knows. It's just not over the phone. It's impossible. And I would say, well, let's go on Skype. Forget it.
No way. Then you got to describe all of that. See, my grandma, I don't think knows that she knows that it's frustrating, but she's not to the point yet where she has like accepted that and understands like she'll just shamelessly ask me for hours of help about whatever it is.
Well, you get to spend time together doing it, I suppose.
Quality time I want with my grandma.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love calling her for cooking advice. She can tell me about that all day and I understand it. I speak that language.
Yeah.
But anyway, my grandfather's running for state senator.
Wow, that's quite a big thing. Like, will you keep us updated about that? Because it's quite a thing, isn't it?
Sure, I will.
Amazing. Good for him.
Only a couple other people are in the primary. I have no idea really how it works. I guess he runs for the primary, then what? Then he gets to do the thing?
Then he gets to do the thing if he wins the primary. But it's, he was a teacher, and why not? Teachers know a lot of things.
Yeah.
Don't they, about people?
Mark Williams for Oklahoma State Senate. I mentioned this because I just saw they made their first post on the Facebook page, which I'm very impressed by, because I was trying to describe to them how to do
and
it,
and
they didn't get it. They made a
point. I want to see what the opposition is saying about Mark Williams.
we'll track it with great earnest.
I'd love to know.
I'm sure. Coming up, Jason Fetty's going to sing The Police Blotter. I'm very excited. Do you want to tease us on the story, or you want to make it a surprise?
It was just a nugget of gold, and because I sat down at 1 o'clock this morning to write this thing. I was so busy night, and then I suddenly realized, oh, my God, I've got to do the Police Blotter, and I went and I stared at all the various stories, and I almost missed this gem of a story, which I'm going to sing to you.
Excellent. He wrote it at midnight, so I think that'll make it especially entertaining. Jason Fetty sings The Police Blotter coming up on our new morning show, Daily Scramble Live, from KX93.5 in Laguna Beach.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
If you, like me, wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. It's a cleanser for your mental palate, and it goes like this. This morning as I drove into work, I realised that the nights are drawing in. There was a sort of twilight feeling about it's going to start being dark in the morning. It made me think, it's always darkest before the dawn. So if you're going to break into your neighbour's garage and steal his roller skates, that's the time to do it.
That was the sorbet of the day.
Let's open the only in Laguna file.
This is my favorite segment on Daily Scramble Live and on KX93.5. It's when we dig into our local police blotter. Jason Fetty is going to sing a song for you in a second.
It's good fun even without a song, because the local police blotter is so great. Laguna, we're so lucky that not really very much happens.
Exactly.
So the police blotter is just full of people getting picked up for misdemeanors. It's great.
For example, 3 calls were received at 5:43 a.m. on Saturday, September 12th. Three calls.
Oh, dear.
About a man who was walking on Coast Highway.
Yeah.
He was walking.
Just walking. That's all he was doing.
Middle of Coast Highway.
In the road.
Okay. Yeah, middle. In the middle.
All right.
Does that change things?
Well, it's probably a little more dangerous. It's edgy.
Officers approached the man, and at that point, the 21-year-old Brent, from Irvine, by the way. They're never from Laguna.
No, of course not.
From Irvine. Became uncooperative.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got arrested for resisting an officer.
For just because he was
just walking.
You know what? That's police brutality at its worst.
Don't walk on the highway, bro.
Oh, dude.
Just don't do that.
If you're going to be drunk, or whatever it was you were, just walk on the sidewalk.
Here's one more.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, 8:54 a.m.
Well,
two large doors were stolen.
Doors.
From an alley.
Yeah.
Guess how much those doors cost?
$35,000.
Not that much. $4,500.
Wow.
$4,500.
Really?
Two doors.
Well, whoever stole those is going to wind up in the slammer. You like it? No?
Oh, I get it.
Okay, get it?
It took me a second.
In the slammer, yeah.
He might be knocking on
heaven's
gates.
Well, something, yeah.
Want to sing a song?
Well, you know what? It was very late last night. I got home and I remembered that I had to do the blotter, and I was thinking, oh no, I really don't. And it just comes out of nowhere. You're just hit by a story. It's great. This is a great story. And it's only one line. Two lines. The headline, Ocean Avenue, 200 block, theft. That's what it says. And then underneath it, the one line, this is the one line of this story, and I am building up to it because I just think it's beautiful. It says, 1:33 a.m., a Lexus with paper plates was stolen.
That's your story?
Now, to your ears, that's okay. It's a Lexus. It's got paper license plate, right? What do they call that thing? What do you call that thing?
A temporary license plate.
But yeah. You see, I'm British, and I didn't grow up with. So my mind goes, well, let me play the song. See what you think of it. Can you hear this?
Wait, we need a
little sound check.
Can't really get the uke. Yeah, can you do that?
Yeah, I can do this. Look,
all right.
I brought a ukulele to mix things up a bit and give it a Hawaiian feel. All right. A Lexus with paper plates was stolen. An SUV with plastic forks and spoons. A 92 Corvette, complete with picnic set. And a tablecloth and toothpicks was removed. A Pontiac and pack of two-ply napkins. A Buick and a polystyrene cup. A Lexus with paper plates was stolen. You can sing it, but you could not make it up. My eyes rested on it. I went, a Lexus with paper plates? What? That's how the song was born.
So you thought there was a Lexus.
And some paper plates.
335 ES with a stack of Dixie paper plates in the passenger seat.
I just had this image of it, and I'm like, a Lexus with paper plates. What a juxtaposition.
Well done, Jason Fetty.
Thank you.
He never fails at singing the police blotter. And we'll do it again next hour if you missed it. Seriously. I love it.
Daily Scramble Live.
So we're just watching the TV in here on Daily Scramble Live, and they are announcing the Emmy nominations. Not too many surprises, really, but it goes hand in hand with a list that just came out from The Hollywood Reporter of the top 20 TV shows of all time.
All right. Now, this is interesting, I must say, but I also must say that watching the stuff on the TV, we've just been watching a bit of this sort of fluff on TV, and they talk about this stuff like it's the most important thing that ever happened in the history of the world.
Then we will talk about it with not as much excitement.
No, I mean, it's, it is the TV, and we get it that there are more important and pressing issues in the world.
All right.
Yeah.
What would you guess are some of the top 20 TV shows of all time?
Oh, The Honeymooners.
Didn't make the list.
Adam's Family.
Didn't make the list.
Probably that thing we talked about yesterday with all those annoying 20-somethings. What's that called? Friends.
Made the list.
Yeah, Sopranos.
Made the list.
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Made the list.
Tonight Show.
Didn't make
Johnny
the list.
Johnny Carson, no.
No, no.
I don't know.
Here are some highlights.
Go on, then.
Arrested Development, number 16. All right. The Twilight Zone, number 17.
Oh, I should have got that, yeah.
Lost, number 15, well, which I think is the worst show ever written. It makes zero sense, yet I still watch the entire thing. Yeah. Modern Family, which has really fallen off, what you and I were just talking about, is nominated for its fifth Emmy in a row as of this morning.
As a nomination, never hasn't won
it
one,
has
though.
Won oh, it four has. Times.
Oh, wow.
And it could win a fifth time in a row, but I think it's really fallen off. The West Wing, which I kind of want to sit down and watch all of.
Do you know what? It was magnificent.
Really?
At the time, man, I was so addicted. Really great programming. And of course, if you're a lefty like me, it just completely bought into all of your beliefs. It's great.
You've seen House of Cards?
Yeah, I saw the English version, and I got lost with the American version.
There's an English version?
Yeah, it was originally an English show.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And after about three or four episodes, I got
it
annoyed with Kevin Spacey.
You have to stick with it.
I didn't quite believe the evilness of these people. I was a bit like, I don't know.
It's a great show. It didn't make this list, but I've heard if you like it, you like The West Wing.
I didn't believe the evilness of that one. And what's the one about the motorcycle gangs? It's very popular.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Those people were just too pretty. They were too good looking. When I was a kid, I hung out with motorcycle gangs in England, and they were the ugliest, most stupid people on the planet. And this is not, I don't know.
My mom loves that show, probably for the reason that you just said, pretty boys riding motorcycles.
Exactly, yeah.
The Simpsons is number 10 on the list.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Of course,
why wouldn't it be? Yeah.
Mad Men is number 9, which I watched 2 episodes of and I couldn't go.
Soap opera.
Couldn't keep going.
It's just a soap opera.
I Love Lucy, number 8.
Why not?
Great show. SNL, which has been on since 1975.
I'm the Desi Arnaz to your Lucy, aren't I?
What if I'm the...
Except we're not married in real life.
I'm the Fred and Ethel to your Ava.
To the moon! Harry, or whatever it was.
Saturday Night Live has been on for, 40-something years now. 50 years, actually.
That's big, yeah.
And has had a roller coaster of success.
Mm-hmm.
It's number 7. Your show, The Sopranos, number 6.
Yeah, gotta be.
What I think should have been number 1 is number 5.
Oh.
Seinfeld.
Huh.
Number 5.
Well, I would have put... my favorite show of all time is Sopranos. Or it was until I watched the last episode. Do you remember this?
I never watched Sopranos.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got to watch the series. And the last episode was a huge disappointment. It was a big controversy.
Really?
Yeah. It was a controversy, big time. So what was it? What was your one?
Well,
Seinfeld.
It's not my favorite show ever, but I think it should be number 1 on this list.
Okay.
My favorite show ever is number 2 on the list, and
we'll get to that.
Game of Thrones is number 4,
yeah? Okay.
Which I think probably just has a lot to do with its current popularity.
Yeah.
This list, again, is from Hollywood Reporter. It was just put out. So, I don't know how big Game of Thrones will stand up in the test of time, but it's pretty huge right now.
Good question, because I don't know if it will or not. Yeah.
A show that scared the crap out of me as a kid, The X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
Scared me.
Great show.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Number 2, can you guess? My favorite show ever.
I have no idea what your favorite show ever is. I no idea, Tyler. I don't know.
It's pretty easy. It's everyone's favorite show. Breaking Bad.
Yeah, wasn't mine.
Man, it's good.
Yeah, you liked it.
I don't know how you can't. I saw a graph online once that was a testament to what you were just talking about, how shows will go, based on reviews. They'll be low, they'll be high, they'll be low, they'll be high. And the last episode often falls off for people, like in The Sopranos or How I Met Your Mother or whatever it is. Breaking Bad is the only show to consistently receive higher ratings as it goes, higher reviews as it goes.
And how was
time.
The last episode
Fantastic.
Of that?
Fantastic.
Was it?
Unbelievable.
You were satisfied by
totally.
It? Totally. I see.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the difference. Number 1, the 20-something, having a tough time of it.
The best show of all time
Friends.
Is such a big thing.
Friends.
Yeah, Friends. Yeah.
It is.
I don't know.
It and Seinfeld are the two best comedies ever, and they probably ever will be.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Anyway, you see what I mean? You get to the end and you go, it's kind of like The Sopranos, this, isn't it? All of those shows are a bit like that. You go, all right, well, it's a TV show. Bully for you.
I've got something a little more interesting for you next hour. Today is the anniversary of Jimi Hendrix's death.
Yeah.
So we'll play a song.
Let's
talk about him for a sec.
Yeah.
If anybody has a specific Hendrix song they would like to hear, they can text us, 949-715 KXFM, we do love hearing from you to know that you're actually paying attention to our ramblings. Right?
Yeah. Come on. Get involved.
We're KX93.5. This is Daily Scramble Live.
Daily Scramble Live.
All right. We are very happy to be joined on the phone now by one of today's most popular comics. Stand-up shows throughout the weekend at Irvine Improv. You've seen him in movies, TV shows, Comedy Central specials, or maybe on his hugely successful show, Mind of Mencia. Good morning, Carlos Mencia. How are you?
Wow, you make me sound better than I am. That's awesome.
It was all true, Carlos. It's really great to have you on the show. How are you feeling this morning? It's a bit early, I know.
No, it's awesome, man. I mean, I love getting up early.
Well, good.
It makes me feel like I'm a normal person every once in a while.
Probably being on a stand-up tour around rural America does not make you feel so normal.
Well, nah, I don't feel normal just because most people don't think like comedians do. I think everything is funny. I think everything is interesting. I think everything is, a point of view. And, we don't live in that society right now. We live in a society of people that love to complain, that cannot wait for you to say something that made them feel uncomfortable so that they can cry and complain because, that's how amazing American life is. We're not worried about, real things like food, starvation, famine. Our problems are, I turned on the radio and Carlos told a joke that was inappropriate.
So
my child asked me, why are people laughing? And I had to explain to my son that, you know, it's that kind of thing.
These are quality problems, it's true. But in your travels around the States in this new tour, has it kind of made you fall back in love with America, or do you just find it ridiculous? What do you think?
I've always actually been in love with America, but the difference is that, you see, I'm an immigrant, so I'm the friend of the guy who's banging the hot chick, who's telling him, dude, your chick is hot. And to me, American citizens are basically the guy who's banging the hot chick, who's basically like, oh, you don't understand, dude. She's not a good cook. She's not what she looks like, you know. And I'm just like, she's exactly what she looks like. What are you talking about?
Do you feel like it's been harder for you as America's become more politically correct, kind of like what you were just talking about? It's so easy to offend people these days. Has that changed your comedy, or are you like, whatever?
No, it hasn't changed my comedy, but it's really interesting that it's not even about politically correct. I think that it's about being overly sensitive and the fact that we don't want the truth to be what it is. So instead of laughing at it, we want to go, ooh, as if, you know, that's a bad thing. Like last night I went on stage and there was this gay couple, and basically I got into it with them because I said to them, I'm not going to celebrate your victory with you, or your so-called victory with you. And the audience went, ooh. And I said, let me explain. I said to the gay guys, I said, listen, what you should have done is you should have walked up to the most happily married man you know and said to him, we cannot get married. We want to fight for the right to get married. You're the happiest married man I know. What do you think? And he would have looked at you and he said, yes, you're right. I am happy. I love my life. I love my wife. I love being married. It's the most amazing thing. I was built to be a married man. That being said, if back in the day when my wife was my girlfriend and she was complaining, saying, where is this going? Are we going to do anything? Are we going anywhere? Are we just spinning our wheels? I wish I could have looked at her and said, I love you more than anything in the world, and of course I want to marry you, but it's against the law. Well, I was like, you had that. How could you F it up, for Christ? Hey, you know, and all the married people clapped because it's funny and it's fun to say that. All the people, you know, that are not married in the audience were like, ooh. And you know, it's what are you oohing about? First of all, you don't know. Anybody that's married thinks that's funny because, you know, after being with somebody for whatever amount of time, you just get to that place where you can do a joke like that. Plus, you did have that. And now you don't. You idiot.
Right. Well, it's only funny because it's, you know, it's got some truth to it, Carlos. That's part of the thing. Anybody that's married knows that marriage isn't what it's cracked up to be. It's hard. It's a difficult thing, you know.
Yeah, but see, people don't want to hear that. You know, people don't want to. It's kind of like, I have a friend who's African. And he called me up very, very angry because I'm going to be going to Djibouti to perform for the troops. And it's in Northern Africa. Yeah. And he told me not to leave the base camp. You know, so I said, why? And he was basically like, because people in Africa, they're angry at the American people right now. And I said, why are you guys angry at us? And he was like, the fact that you don't even know why even angers me more. And I'm like, right. I don't know what you're talking about. And then he says this to me. He says, listen, people in Africa die because we don't have water. America does not care. We die because we get Ebola. America does not care. We die because we don't have food to eat. America does not care. But when Cecil the lion dies, everyone cares about Africa.
Oh, man, I did a whole thing about it because I said, I'm like, I don't care about this lion.
Yeah,
I had to be honest about it.
Very controversial opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm like, there's so much more important things. Do you think that this whole thing of being like not able to laugh at serious things or things that are, I think that's part of that whole thing of because we've got such an easy life. Is that what you're saying? We've got an easy life. We don't want to look at difficult things. Marriage is funny because it's difficult, and it's also worthwhile because it's difficult.
Well, but of course, but that's the thing. I mean, think about it. The things that we complain about, we think that what we complain about in this country are real. We complain because, okay, think about this. You know, over half of the world doesn't have access to drinking water. And in California specifically, we're upset, especially in places like, you know, where I live or in Laguna Niguel or, you know, places like that. We're upset because we can't water our lawn. That's what we're mad about. Not because we don't have water to drink or because we're going to starve, but we're like, look at my grass. It's brown. It's supposed to be green. I know, somebody do something.
Carlos, if a few people have to die so that my lawn can be green, I think that's a fair trade, frankly.
Listen, I agree. I remember after the war, right, when we went to Iraq, I was so upset. Not because the war or anything like that. I was pissed off because supposedly we went over there, you know, to stabilize the region so that gas prices wouldn't go. I'm paying $4.80 a gallon. And I'm like, why did we go there if gas is still going to be about $5 a gallon?
Right.
Who do we have to kill to lower prices, for Christ's sake? Instead of just going to randomly shoot, can we just shoot the right people and get prices down so that I don't have to pay at the pump? What right. is this?
Right. Where is the payoff? Absolutely.
Carlos Mencia is on the phone. Again, he's got shows at the Irvine Improv all weekend long, irvine.improv.com. Carlos, we've noted recently how much of an interest you've taken in the Republican debate and, of course, Donald Trump. Is that just so easy for comedians? It's now like easy mode.
It's so easy because, I mean, you look at you listen to these guys, and you know they just want to say whatever makes or they think is going to make people happy, and then you have a guy like Donald Trump, who if this is how starving America is for somebody to just be authentic, that they go with him just because. You know, he says crazy things. I mean, when he said that Mexicans are rapists, I swear to God, I imagined that somewhere Bill Cosby was going, I told you it wasn't me.
Have you seen his latest thing, Carlos? Like the other day there, he's now, somebody stood up at a rally and said, what are we going to do about the Muslims? And he said, well, we're going to look into that.
Yeah. But that's what America, you know, we just want a guy. We don't get it. Like, people don't get it. But nobody is going to be a good president that hasn't served at some point in time in our legislature of some sort. Yeah. Because it is so complicated of a system now. But then again, I mean, look how back-asswards we are. Like, when I talk to my friends about soccer, I don't say soccer, I say football. And not that I don't like American football, I don't understand how we can call a game football when nobody kicks the ball except for the punter and the kicker, and those two guys are the two positions that if your son came and went, Dad, I'm the punter, you'd be like, well, you can't do something else on the field? Like, the two guys that actually do kick the ball are the most disrespected guys on the field. And yet we don't even blink. We don't even think about it. We go, you know, we just don't. There's a lack of common sense. I mean, I went to SeaWorld with my son last year in San Diego in about May. And I get there and there's people, you know, trying to block everybody from going in. And I'm with my son and I say, you know, what's going on here? And this lady says, they're mistreating the animals inside of SeaWorld. All dramatic. And I looked at her and I said, but everybody knows that. Why are you guys here, though? And she said, no, they don't know. We're here to tell them. And I said, no, we do know. And she said, how would you know? I said, because I don't know how the walrus feels, but at 3, he's going to put on a show for me. I don't think that's on his mind at this moment. I don't think him and Basile are going, Cardinals are going to be for the 3 o'clock show, kids. We got to put on a good one. They're on a schedule. I said, you know, of course we know that they're mistreating them. Some of us just think that it's worth it because there's awakening of minds. I said, look, we are killing sharks out in the ocean so much right now that some species are literally at risk of being extinct. And I said, you know why? Because they don't have a shark pool where they throw flips and do tricks.
Yeah, really.
Because that's why you can't kill orcas anymore. Because they're so cute, because we think they're Shamu, because our kids look at them and go, no, not the beautiful killer whale. And this one lady said, but no, one of the animals inside of SeaWorld got mad and killed 3 people. And I said, what animal? And she said, the killer whale. And I said, are you hearing yourself?
It's just the clue's in the name. If pigs could do tricks, you know, there'd be no bacon.
No, there wouldn't be. No. And see, but like that, like, we don't, the animals that human beings eat, we don't eat them because they're cute. We eat them because they're easy to catch. Right? I've had horse meat. It's really good. But you know why we don't eat horses? Because if there's a horse and a cow and you walk up to both of them, the horse runs away.
Right.
We eat the two birds that we eat, right, with most frequency. We eat chickens and we eat turkeys. They both can't fly. We eat all the pigs. We eat the laziest animals that we can. Have you had quail? It's amazing. Do you know how hard it is to catch a quail? You know, but people just, that we've lost common sense. I mean, we have children who, you know, are depressed. I mean, think about, look at it this way. The United States of America per capita has more money. As in, we have more money than anybody in the world, and we have more money than any country in the world. But you know what else we do more than anything in the world? We take more antidepressants than anyone in the world. This is why people in other countries hate us. I get it. We have a house, we have a car, we have cable, internet, phones, you know, and yet we're like, I am so depressed. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
There's so much traffic. It's like, you have a car? What are you crying about? Everybody just wants to complain about everything. I mean, we live in a country where, think about it, instead of getting a better job, people that work at fast food restaurants making minimum wage go to protest that they want to make more money. And I'm going, you know, all the time that you're spending on protesting, maybe you could take an online course on something other than wrapping a burger, because you're going to make minimum wage. We can raise minimum wage, but if you wrap a burger, that's what you're going to make. Why would I pay you more money to wrap a burger than minimum wage when I can get a monkey to do it for free? And I know that sounds mean, but how much money would
really
I make?
It does sound mean, yeah.
Well, you know that people would be like, oh my God, have you been to that McDonald's where a monkey wraps your burger? It would make me so much money. So much money. And yet, you know, we just, and then, you know, you say things like this and people just get upset. Because if there's somebody listening right now and their kid is in the back listening to this, and they start laughing, those kids are going to ask, well, Daddy, why did you laugh at the lion? But the lion is dead, you know? And people just don't want to answer. It's kind of like the gay issue. You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen when gay people get married? I'm at home going, they're probably going to get divorced like the rest of us. Like, who cares? But some people don't want to have to look at their kid and say, and their kid go, Dad, why are those two men holding hands? Why are those two women holding hands? You know, and for me, it's just like, I don't care. You know, my son was 5, I think, when he said to me, Dad, why does my friend Mark have 2 mommies? You know, and I looked at him and I said, because their mommies don't like penis.
Carlos Mencia, shows at the Irvine Improv all weekend long, irvine.improv.com. Carlos, if you have a couple more minutes, we'd love to play a game with you that takes us back to a simpler time. It's called Beat the Brit. Jason here is a British fellow, so we're going to ask you really simple American history questions. Jason doesn't know the answers. You don't know the answers. I'm going to ask the question and see who knows more about American history, the Honduran immigrant or the British radio host.
Perfect.
It's great fun, and it makes me think that, you know, every time I talk to somebody who's an immigrant or from got a different cultural background, it makes me realize that actually the whole world is really, we're all the same, really, except for the Americans. They're different.
Oh my God, we're so different. I mean, look at it, but you being British, you'll understand.
Yeah.
I went on stage last night and I said to the audience, I said, don't take offense to this, but America has gotten so sensitive. And I looked at the audience and I said, if the average white person in this room was on the Mayflower, America would not exist, because they would have seen the Indians and started crying and went back to England.
All right, let's play our game. I'm pressing the button. Here we go.
1776 was a long time ago, my fellow Americans. Let's see if you still got it. It's time to play Beat the Brit on KX93.5.
All right. Are you ready, Carlos?
Yes.
Carlos Mencia, a game of Beat the Brit versus Jason Fetty. Here's the first question. You can answer this one first, Carlos. When was America founded? I'm looking for the day and the year, if you can do both.
Well, we asked for our independence in 1776, but it wasn't until 1787 that England recognized the independence of the United States.
Oh, my God. I am so screwed.
He's going to kick your ass.
I am screwed. Jason? I would have gone straight for July 4th, 1776. Boom.
Carlos is more technically correct.
Yeah, he is.
Very well done, Carlos. Oh, nice job. 1 point to Carlos Mencia. Jason, you'll answer this one first. Which of these people did not sign the Declaration of Independence? Was it George Washington, John Hancock, Thomas Jefferson, or Ben Franklin? Jason.
And Elvis Presley. Right? So I have to pick one of them?
You have to pick one of those four people.
Wait, give them to me again quickly.
George Washington, John Hancock, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin.
Who
didn't
George
sign
George Washington.
It. Carlos?
Yes.
George Washington is correct. You both get a point. Nice
job. You see? Good job. Mine was a guess, though. You knew it.
He confirmed your answer.
I only get half a point.
All right, moving to more recent history. In what year did Americans first land on the moon? Ooh. Carlos?
62 or 64. Which one was it? I'm going to miss this one. I'm going to say 64.
Jason?
Yeah, I think he's right. I think you're right.
It was 68, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
1968. And it turns out the Apollo computers had less processing power than cell phones today.
Yeah.
Next question.
Wow, what was 64? 64, 62 was when Kennedy said we were going to the moon.
We were going to the moon,
right?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, yeah. Now, your cell phone, what was that about your cell phone? Your cell phone's got more power
than the Apollo computer.
Yeah, you couldn't search for porn on the old Apollo moon lander, that's for sure.
All right,
amazing, yeah. The other day, my son was trying to tell me about, you know, how amazing he is because he knows how to work an iPad, and I brought out my old Etch-a-Sketch, and I told him, if you can't draw me a perfect circle, I'm going to beat your ass.
I'm going to send you to those lesbians down the road.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Jason Fetty, from what country did the United States buy the Louisiana Purchase?
France.
Carlos?
Of course. Come on.
Yeah. France. 13 states at 3 cents per acre. Well done, guys.
Yeah, it was like it was still a few million dollars, wasn't it, in the end?
All right, this will be the final question. This one, I think, is gettable, a little bit more challenging. Thomas Paine wrote a pamphlet to convince colonists that it was time to become independent from Britain. What was it called, Carlos?
Do you know this, Carlos?
You know what? I'm blanking out. I know it's not the Declaration, but it's God, I do know this.
You do know it. You know it, man.
Oh, it's not coming to me though. As soon as you say it, I'm going to be like, you son of a bitch.
Jason?
I think it's common sense.
Common sense is right, yeah.
That's That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys tie. The Honduran and the British person tie.
Good.
You know what? See,
nothing unites like a common enemy, Carlos.
Yeah. But see, it's cheating because when you become an American citizen, you have to learn all this stuff just to take this test.
Right.
To become the citizen.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know, somebody that became an American citizen will always be, you know, somebody from, because, like, the first thing we have to learn is the first 13 states. You know, the first, that's something that I think, like, maybe 5 to 10% of Americans know.
That's true. And if you get arrested and you become an American citizen, you're a naturalized immigrant, if you get arrested, they're going to ask you, how did you become an American citizen? And this is words of the wise. The correct answer is, I took a test. I wasted 2 hours giving all kinds of different answers when I got arrested. And finally I said, I took a test. And he went, there you go, that's the correct answer. It was like bells rang, like I just won some Celebrity Squares thing.
It took you that long to get to the test.
I said, well, how do you come and say, oh, I paid $1,000 to a lawyer, or, you know, my father was an American citizen before me, or, you know. No, you took a test. That's the answer.
Yeah, I got the, thank God, I was ready for the really hard questions and, you know, the colonies and the states and, you know, the first, I got the easy ones. You know, I got the Lincoln questions and the Washington questions, and I think I got one Ronald Reagan question. It was easy.
Well, Carlos, we're so glad you're American now, and we're glad you have shows at the Improv all weekend long. Again, tickets at irvine.improv.com. Thanks for hanging out with us for so long this morning. We really do appreciate it, man.
No, I really do appreciate it, man. And I think that you guys are doing a service, especially to the rich community, which you guys send your signal to, you know, to not complain so much, man. To remember, you know, how good you have it and enjoy life a little bit. And, you know, when your kids start crying, don't run up to them and say what's wrong. Let them cry and figure it out on their own, you know? This is a bad thing that we're doing to our kids, that we're just trying to make life so easy for them that they have no fight left in them when they get older. They have no reason to strive, no reason to fight, no reason to struggle. And I think it's just a disservice to our kids.
Yeah, so the message is basically, punch your kids. That's really what we're trying.
Yeah, you know what you should do? Don't even punish them. What you should do is go on Ancestry.com and find where your family comes from and take your kid to wherever that is and leave them there for 2 or 3 weeks. And I promise you, they will come back so humble, so nice, so beautiful. They'll be like, I didn't know that people lived like that. And, oh, they will never complain about you not buying them Legos or taking them to Target anymore.
It's great advice.
Hey, Carlos, thank you so much, man. Have great shows this weekend at the Improv, and we hope to catch you out there and again next time when you're in town, okay?
I will, brother. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye.
We'll see you soon.
Take care.
That's Carlos Mencia on Daily Scramble Live. Right back with Breakfast on the Beach. We're going to eat for you. That's next. All right, Daily Scramble Live is back now. Real quick in local news, there is a traffic alert in Laguna Beach, Laguna Canyon Road, inbound Laguna Canyon Road. So coming into town right at El Toro and down further due to Caltrans construction until further notice. So coming into Laguna Beach will be a little hairy right now.
All right.
We're very happy to welcome to the show Chef Alan Miller. Good morning, Chef. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And this is by far the greatest segment we've ever concocted.
I am just completely in heaven with the smell of the food in here.
Well, thank you very much.
So Chef Miller, once a month, is going to prepare breakfast on the beach for us in studio. And we will admit this is just a selfish attempt to eat food while you have to listen to it.
Pure drooling. I don't know. This mic, this shield thing on this mic is going to need washing after today.
So we're going to tell you about what Chef Miller made today and let you know how you can use him as a private chef. You are a caterer, right? You're a private chef?
Yes, I am.
Cool. So why don't we just go through the dishes? And Chef, why don't you talk? And I'm going to take bites as you describe what you've made for us today. So go one by one for us.
Yeah, okay. If you could take over the next 20 minutes of the show, that would be really great.
I would love to.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Just talk about yourself.
Okay. Well, We're talking about brisket or myself?
Brisket.
Oh, okay. Brisket. All right, the brisket. It's a braised beef brisket. Almost a barbecue style, but traditional Jewish dish for the holidays.
Are you Jewish?
I am not, but I have a lot of friends who are Jewish, and a lot of my clients in Boston
are you
were
saving
Jewish.
Up to be Jewish? Will you think you'll be Jewish eventually?
I think I'll convert. So basically, it's just it's braised in red wine, garlic. You have your aromatics, which are onions, onions, carrots, celery, garlic, and little brown sugar, and I just braise it for about 3 hours.
Mm. How do you braise a brisket?
What you want to do is to increase more flavor is with your cut of meat. You want to sear it on both sides, get a nice brown color, and then add your liquid, and then just cover in foil. So what you're doing, you're steaming it. At a slow temperature, which is going to break down the because a brisket is usually a tougher cut of meat than, say, a sirloin or a...
But this almost melts. It falls off.
It does,
right. It's so tender.
Right. You know, the acid from the tomato and the wine, it's also breaking it down.
The sweetness of the brown sugar, can you taste that?
Yeah, totally.
Too?
A lot of Jewish dishes. I mean, I'm a cantor in a temple, so don't ask me about food, but ask me about how it's made. But the... a lot of the reason why the cuts of meat are not great, kosher cuts of meat, you know, it's often a shank or brisket, as you say.
Right.
Religious Jews, Orthodox Jews that are kosher, don't eat, you know, the nicer cuts of meat. They don't eat sirloin. Any of the hind quarters are not allowed. Right. So they have to eat this stuff, and so you have to find creative ways to cook it and make it.
Exactly.
Tastes like it melts in you. This melts in your mouth.
Oh, good.
So did you make this yesterday or like early this
morning? Oh, I made it yesterday, and always... believe when you're braising a cut of meat, let it sit overnight in the refrigerator, and the flavors will just build overnight.
So you cook the whole thing slowly for 3 hours,
yes.
Then you put it in the fridge.
Well, what I did was I braised it for 3 hours whole, and then I took the meat out of the sauce, sliced it, and then I braised it an additional hour. So
this
it really gives it
it's
a
really
you know,
good.
The flavors really get into the meat.
All right, what's this noodly thing we've got?
Oh, we have noodle kugel. So it's an egg noodle dish with cottage cheese, there's sour cream, a little bit of butter, and sugar, cinnamon, and raisins.
Stop. You're driving me crazy.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've never had anything quite like
kugel. My grandma used to call it lokshen kugel. Mm-hmm. Lokshen is Yiddish for noodles, for spaghetti, for pasta.
Ah.
So yes. Lokshen kugel.
This is a Yiddish dish as well?
Yeah, it's all Jew food. Very good Jew food.
Jill, the first time I served this to a client, I brought their dinners to them, and she's like, "Where's the kugel?" And I said, "Oh, I have the dessert cooling on the stove." She's like, they were like laughing their asses off.
Because it's not dessert?
It's not a dessert. Mm. It's a side dish. But it is a sweetness from the raisins and the sugar.
I would say one of your talents as a chef, and you cooked recently for one of our experiences, we sold a silent auction prize where a winner went out on a boat on Dana Point Harbor, and they got to use a private chef, and you made lobster cheesecake.
Oh, yes.
So it seems to me you like this savory-sweet combination.
Yes, it really, they're a great pairing, and it's just something that's so unusual when you pair a sweet with a savory or look sweet and spicy.
But you wouldn't eat this kugel. What's it got in it? It's got butter in it, right? And
a little, butter, right.
So you wouldn't, again, an Orthodox Jew, you wouldn't eat this with a brisket.
Not in the same plate.
They couldn't have the milk and the meat together. You have to wait 6 hours.
They would just eat a slab of bacon.
Yeah, right.
Kosher bacon.
Bacon and cheese croissant, yeah.
So you boil the noodles like you're making anything?
Exactly. But like half the time.
Okay.
For, normal, but to serve it.
And then you make it like a casserole or something?
Exactly. Yeah. In a buttered casserole dish. And then you combine your sugar and your other dairy products and eggs. And then just toss it in with the noodles and add raisins and cinnamon, and you're all set.
Doesn't it just make you want to go Happy New Year?
Noodle kugel.
Exactly.
Happy New Year.
How do you,
any time of year, doesn't matter.
Mazel tov, Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, mazel tov.
Is that right? Okay, what's the last thing?
Oh, and we have apricot rugula.
Yes, we do.
And the...
My grandma used to call these stuffed monkeys. I don't know why.
What? Stuffed monkeys?
Yeah, stuffed monkey. I don't know why they call them that. But, arugula.
Describe what this is for those who don't know what arugula is, because I didn't until this morning. Not to be confused with the leaf arugula.
No, not to be confused with that. That confused me for
little while when I first arrived here.
I mean, the cookie itself almost resembles a miniature croissant. Mm-hmm. But the dough is made with butter and cream cheese and, of course, flour and a little bit of sour cream. And then you roll it out into, like, a rectangle, and then use, like, any sort of preserve. It could be apricot or raspberry. Mm. And then you sprinkle cinnamon and sugar and walnuts, and you just roll them up like croissant rolls. Walnuts. And bake them. That's it.
Cinnamon.
It's so good.
Walnuts.
They're really, everything is so good.
They sound complicated, but they're pretty easy after a few times.
I'm so glad we did this at the end of our show, because we're both going to go into comas right now, Jason.
This is really, really great. And I want a private chef. What a nice thing to have, a private chef.
Let's talk about that, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I come in and do a special event, or if it's a cocktail party, or you have friends visiting from out of town, and you just don't feel like going to those busy, crowded restaurants on a Friday or Saturday night, I can come in and bring the dinner, the restaurant, to your house.
Wow. Yeah. See, people don't think about that at all.
No, it's a great, it's a wonderful idea. We cook dinners for people, you know, especially on high holidays. And
yes,
that's our thing, really, my wife and I. And it's a big struggle for Ava, for my wife, to get everything together. It's 2 days. I mean, if
it
you
is
think
a
about,
lot. Oh, yeah.
You know, now, I know that you've put this Jew food together. Excuse me, I've got a mouthful of arugula. You put this food together because it's Rosh Hashanah, and that's very nice of you to think of that. But, and it's simple food. This is peasant food.
Right.
Really, it's like an upscale version of what used to be basic peasant food.
Exactly.
Are you a fan of simple foods, or do you like to make more complicated dishes? And what's your thing?
Well, you know, when I graduated from culinary school, I was into more like complicated dishes, like, you know, like more sauces and a lot more steps. Now my style of cooking is more Mediterranean. So it's like grilled meats with olive oil, you know, roasted vegetables or grilled vegetables, and, you know, not really masking the true flavors of the food, but like just with the combination together, I think it's just a lot more better. And I think people today are eating more in that fashion. And, you know, I mean, when I look at French food now, which I still love, but I just don't cook with the butters and the creams and the sauces. No. But, I mean, unless people want that. Yeah.
Isn't
not
it
for
nice
myself.
For us to be able to be a little bit snooty about the French?
Right.
You know, finally we're able to say, well, you know, oh, come on. Of course your sauces are wonderful and you've got 2,000 years of experience, but it's not very healthy. So,
right,
you know,
right.
Whatever.
Exactly.
So without talking specifically about what it costs, what's the comparison between going out to a fancy restaurant for 10 people and hiring yourself as a private chef to come into your house? I imagine it's really not that different.
Not too much. I mean, just, of course, it depends on what the client is looking for
sure.
in terms of food, or like they want Maine lobster, you know, it might cost a little more. But probably I could probably get the lobster and still do it a lot cheaper than it, you know,
right.
You
and
at a restaurant.
Bottom line is you want them to be happy
exactly.
at the end of the day. And I think it's a great. I'm thinking about like when I can hire Alan.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah. Chef Alan Miller. You can learn more about him at chefalanmiller.com. Is that where you want people to contact you as well?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Chefalanmiller.com. If you enjoyed the noodle kugel or the beef brisket or the arugula this morning, all delicious Jewish foods, but he can make really anything.
Why don't we do this more? Why don't we just ditch the police blotter thing? We'll just do this three
just
times.
Do this instead.
Get chefs in. I love it.
We love having you, and we're excited to continue featuring your food on Daily Scramble Live. Thank you for cooking for us.
Thank you for having me.
Again, Chef Alan Miller at chefalanmiller.com. And coming up in just a few minutes, Full Album Fridays on KX93.5. Today we're highlighting Bayo from Vampire Weekend. He's got his first ever solo album. That's Chris Bayo.
You know, I'm completely full Album Fridays.
Okay. I got it. Hey, Jason, thanks for a fun show today.
Oh, it was great fun today. Thanks, Ty.
I'm Tyler Russell. I'll show myself out.
And I will get my coat.